sitting here. What's your name? Anybody here hasn't got a name? I guess, I mean, even though I may not know all your names, but all of us have a name. Who gave you this name? Your parents, probably. Who actually decide what name you have yourself? Who else? Michael. Oh, that's cool. I also like gave myself a name around the time that I was year 10, because in Hong Kong you don't usually have an English name. I mean, that now is a lot more common. At that time, excuse me, and I haven't got an English name, and I need to do an English project, and I need to design an English name for myself. So I look up the dictionary, the name dictionary, and then choose a letter, and then choose one. And then, now I'm called Derek. Well, I didn't realize it's quite weird. Right? And certainly I look up and see what the meaning of that. Do you know the meaning of your name? Like, no matter in Chinese, or like in other language, or in an English name. Or maybe the origin is not English, like, it's an Italian name, Spanish, or... Last time when I shared this topic with our young people in the youth ministry, and one of them said the meaning of his name is free man. And then I asked if he thinks he is actually a free man. He said, no. Well, I mean, usually, if I ask the young people, do you think you're a free man? You got all the freedom? Maybe not. Maybe not now. Later on. Usually when we grow up, we think we have more freedom. So I hope when he grow up, he can live up to his name. Anybody know my Chinese name? Some of you, like, it's called Lei Zun Ki. This contains like two words from an idiom. That idiom means a wise man recognizes the circumstances and submits to that. And those amongst you know me for a longer time, maybe you can tell me whether I live up to that name. Well, I didn't realize that there's a matching of that. Just like our names, the names in the Bible are usually meaningful. Today we're going to look at Jacob's name. Do you know the meaning of his name? Maybe you know, because like in the Bible it's like that. Turn to your Bible, Genesis 25. Find a Bible if you haven't got one. There should be some physical copies in front of the hall. Genesis 25. We need to read a little bit about Jacob, because today we're actually going from Genesis 25 to the end of that. Genesis 25:19-26. Let me read to you. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and then Isaac married Rebekah. Rebekah became pregnant. And the babies pushed each other within her, and she said, "Why this happened to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said, Two nations are in your womb, and two people from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau, which means hairy. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. The name means he grabs the heel. Okay. Maybe that's how people name their children in those days. I'm not sure whether you're being named by those different circumstances. So have Esau and Jacob live up to their names? Well, Esau surely is still quite hairy in his whole life. But Jacob didn't become a real person who always like come to grasp people's heel all the time. But his name actually showed up in his character. He grasps things for himself. So in the passage, you can see that right after introducing these two sons, the first things the Bible describes about them is that Esau sold his birthright to Jacob at a cost of a nice meal. Birthright is something Jacob tried very hard to get. He wanted to come out first, to be the firstborn. That is something he tried very hard to get it in his mother's womb, and now he has bought it, sort of. Birthright is the right to be recognized as firstborn, and that means the head of the household and a greater blessing. In Genesis 27, as Isaac was getting old, after another drama, at the end, Isaac blessed Jacob with the greater blessing, which should be given to the firstborn. So Jacob bought the birthright from Esau with bread and stew, and he stole the blessing from Esau by like pretending to be Esau. And if you read Genesis, like in Jacob's life, all incidents that describe in the Bible, in his early life, he used all his tricks to grasp things for himself. He has certainly lived up to his name. But that also means that people around him may not be too happy. Esau certainly not too happy about his brother. And that's why Isaac sent Jacob away before he died, you know, afraid like Esau may kill him. But lives go on, fast forwarding a little bit. Jacob got a job and he got married twice. Beautiful life, right? And you know, when he fled for his life from Esau, he was empty-handed. He haven't got anything. Now he become really rich. And really rich. And he has successfully grasped whenever the things that he wants. But that's a lot of hard work. He worked for Laban for the first 7 years. And he couldn't get a woman he loves. So he worked for another 7 years for Rachel, the woman he loves. I mean, don't use that as a biblical support for looking for another woman. I mean, if your wife is not the one you love. I mean, it shouldn't be, right? Jacob has grasped things with his own strength. When you read about Jacob in Genesis, I'm pretty sure you feel that. He's used his wisdom a lot. Like, we may call him sneaky these days. Now, before the start of today's passage that in Genesis 32, by the command of God, Jacob left his father-in-law and head back to Esau, returned back to his homeland, and his life is about to change because God is going to give him a new name. So before encounter with Esau, Jacob prepared. Imagine you're going to meet somebody that you stole from him before, and then now that person came with 400 people. What will you do? You will be afraid. Certainly Jacob was afraid and he feared. Jacob was rich, but he was not too sure whether the gift he's going to send out is sufficient to calm his brother down after all these years. So he divided all he had into two camps. He said if Esau comes to the one camp and attack it, the other camp can, what is left can escape. And then he prayed. He asked for deliverance. He reminded God what he has promised. Although he prayed, but he didn't leave that to God. Should he find that he still tried to arrange, all the gifts that tried to please his brother. But you can see how much he actually trusts God by reading he's trying to arrange his camp, arrange his people. All those people he treasured most will be the last, will stay with him. So that they might need to escape. But at last they need to go across the river. And then we come to Genesis 32:22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. Finally, he needs to send out the group of people that he trusted more, his family. Then, he he's the last one, and he again back to empty-handed. Nothing. He just got his body, and he still got his hands to whistle. Verse 24. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." I guess Jacob probably know that this man, if he's not God's servant or angel, he must be God. This man represents God. How can Jacob let him go without asking for a blessing? He needs to grasp that opportunity. But he has no idea that blessing is given by God. It's not for you to grasp that or fight for it. Even for the blessing that he grasps from his brother, from his father, it's given by God. Jacob has no idea of that. Now he's not willing to let go. He's not willing to receive. I mean, to receive, you need to open your hand. You cannot just hold on. You can hold, keep grasping. And I'm thinking, I mean, not sure whether you think the same when you read that passage. Jacob has already injured. How can he not let that man go? In verse 25, oh yeah, you have that on. I thought, why everybody is not opening their Bible because you have that on the screen? I didn't realize that. So verse 25 is saying that the man could not overpower him. How can that be possible? Especially that person is God. God cannot overpower him. When I think about that, perhaps God won't force us. He won't move our fingers to force us to release and receive. He won't overpower Jacob to release. He has already shown to Jacob that he can't actually rely on himself, his own strength to grasp. Because as God touched him and he injured. But Jacob is still grasping. So God used another way. He asked, that is in verse 26, 27. God asked, "What's your name? What's your name?" Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel." So God actually remind him his name. Right. Why God need to ask him his name? Because, I mean, asking someone's name before you bless somebody, say if somebody comes forward to you and asks you, "Can you pray for me?" Maybe you will ask for his name. When, say, Jacob come to God and ask for blessing, maybe God need to ask for his name, but actually God know his name. So here, definitely, the man intended to remind Jacob, "That's your name. That was your name. You have been grasping like what your name suggests for your whole life." But that shouldn't be his real name. Jacob probably think that he need to live up to his name, Jacob. But he didn't realize that is not his real name. That's not the name that is given by God. I have 3 children. Spend a lot of time to think about their name. 3 days before my 3rd child was born, Donald Trump became the president. Let's say I decide to name my little child Trump Lee or Donald Lee, whatever. When he grew up, he found out that, okay, Donald Trump is the one I'm named after. So he watched all his speeches and interviews and learned and acts like him. That will be a disaster for my family. Well, that would certainly be a false name, right? Certainly I didn't name him after that. I named him after Solomon. It's called Jedediah. The meaning of that is beloved of God. And that won't be too wrong. So we all need to know what is your name. What is your real name? Have you got a false name? You may not know that right away. Because if it's a false name that you try to live your life up to that, you probably won't think that it's a false name. For some people, that false name is not something they realize because that might have rooted in the young age. Think about why did Jacob need to grasp? Is it just because of the name? Yeah, partially. But the thing is also because he was a bit late when he was born. And he looked at himself as a loser. He didn't have enough security. So he was not willing to lose. He don't want to lose. He want to get everything back by grasping, by his own strength. Are you also affected by things happening in your young age? Maybe there was once that your parents didn't give you what you need to you. Then you become jealous and you become jealous of anyone who have more things than you. Maybe there was a time that your efforts not being appreciated by your parents, and from that time you work harder than anybody in order to get the recognition from everybody to prove that your parents is wrong. Then your life is probably harder than anyone else. Because you're trying to live up to a name that's not given by God. Or maybe our society has given you another name. Some of you may be called the smart kid in the class, in the school. Then you may go on to study and work in a professional that only smart people can do. So you try to match that. I hope those things are already your old self. But maybe not. In Ephesians 4, Paul taught us how to live our life. We need to put off our old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Those false names. We should be made new in the attitude of your mind and put on the new self, which is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We need to be made new. We need to be created to be like God. We need to be healed. We need to live up to the name that is given by God. So in order to heal Jacob, God has given Jacob a new name to tell him who he actually is, who he can be. God made him aware of his condition. And Jacob's life actually changed from that. In verse 28, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Do you know why God called him Israel? What's the meaning of that? In Hebrew, Israel, probably, people think, that might mean he struggles with God. So it's like quite normal, and it's describing the situation. It's just like the name Jacob describes what has just happened. Israel represents he won, even when he wrestles with God. Now he's no longer a loser. He's a winner, even against God. He no longer needs to keep fighting for his own benefits. He can think about letting go. He can learn how to let go, to leave it to God. God let him win so that he realized who he can be. So that he's no longer a loser. God let him win even though it's impossible to win God. It's certainly something given by God, not earned by Jacob. That's his new name. But we all know that things doesn't change overnight. Jacob actually continued to grasp. In verse 29, Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." He didn't realize the meaning of Israel, not at that time. And he replied, the man replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And actually God blessed him there. God asked, why you still ask my name? You know that I am God. Is that you still do not believe? I think although that Jacob asked for blessing, obviously he did not pin his hope on God. He wants to get something he can hold on to. He has not changed right away after having his new name. If we talk at, I think you may need to open your Bible for that. If we take a look at what happened afterwards, just flip through to Genesis 33, he still arranged all he has before seeing Esau. We know that we sort of feel that Jacob is still acting as a loser. He's still in fear. It takes a long while before Jacob actually lives up to his new name, Israel. And 3 chapters later, in chapter Genesis 33, God actually reminds him again about his name change. I guess maybe that's why God gave him a name. The new name is for Jacob to remember what has happened, that he wrestled with God and won. So changes may take a while, but the first thing is to know your real name. Our English or Chinese name called by our parents may not reflect who we are. It could be a false name. Say if my parents named me Wealthy Lee, then it could only reflect what they want me to be, not what God want me to be. So it's important to know if we are living by a false name. Do you know the name God has given to you? Certainly God has already given to all of us the name of God's children. But apart from that, God may give us new names because of a new mission, a new responsibility, a new identity. Maybe God wants to use us in something big that He has planned. And how we should find it out? In a modern world like this, with fast pace, you don't have a ton of time to reflect on your life. Anybody is actually spend like at least 10 minutes at the end of each day to think about what you have done during the day. Or you plan to do that, but you actually go to you go into sleep within a minute. We need to reflect on what we are doing. What are you doing here? What have you done this week? Sometimes we wait till a retreat and then we will start to think about that. Maybe a long trip that you're sort of taking away from the real life. But I think before those things happen, you can still reflect on your faith journey regularly. That's why we ask you about how have you experienced God recently? It shouldn't take a while. It's an exercise that you should do it often, regularly. Think about those major incidents that happen in your life. What that means to you. I mean, if I ask you, certainly you would say, I agree that God allowed those things to happen. When God allows something to happen, that's part of His plan. There's some meaning in that. So it's definitely worthwhile to discern what those things are and how that link up in your life story. Then we'll be aware of how God actually calls. Let's get back to Jacob's life. We'd like to end with the later parts of Jacob's life. As I said, after 3 chapters in Genesis 33, God reminds Jacob his new name is Israel. Then his beloved wife Rachel died when he gave birth to his second son Benjamin. The focus soon shifts to their first son Joseph. And most of us, when we read Genesis, we will think, okay, after Jacob is Joseph. We focus on Joseph. But if you read it, focus on what Jacob or Israel, what his part in later part of Genesis, you find it, certainly we know that Jacob or Israel loved Joseph more than any of his brother. But then Joseph was sold to Egypt by his brothers. And Joseph lived 13 years as a slave in jail, and God was with him. Joseph become the overseers in Egypt. I mean, you know all that. And then the famine came, the Jacob's family need to buy food from Egypt, and in Genesis 43, the situation developed that Jacob needs to let his another son, his beloved son Benjamin, is from Rachel. Both Joseph and Benjamin are from Rachel. And he need to let his other son Benjamin ten sons to bring, it's nine, because one of them is already in Egypt. But anyway, he need to let go of Benjamin to Egypt in order to get food. He has no choice when Joseph was taken away. That's not something he can control. This time, Benjamin is in his hand. He could have chosen not to let him go. Although, we need food, but will you send your beloved son away because of food? He can choose not to let him go. But at the end, he was willing to let go and ask God to bring them back. In Genesis 43:14, Israel said, "May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, and may he send back your other brother and Benjamin. And as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. If I need to be separated from my children, then I'll be separated from them." Now, he lived up to his new name, Israel. A winner who knows that everything is given by God and he is willing to leave it to God. He brought everything to Egypt afterwards, and then God made Israel into a great nation there. So that is part of God's plan. And you see the change of Israel. What if Jacob decided, "I will stay being Jacob. I won't send Benjamin. I'll just stay. I won't go to Egypt." The whole thing will be different. So that's Jacob. What about you? What about your name? We usually talk about our name like the calling from God. Name is like how people call you. Do you know your name? What can that be? That could be your occupation. I mean, some people say a doctor or teacher. They say, "Oh, that's my name because I love that. It's not just my occupation. That's actually God called me to do that." Or maybe for some of us, it's like helping people. Maybe your name is helper. Maybe your name is listener. What's your name? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we see that you have given a new name to Jacob. Because certainly you saw that he just lived up to his false name before that. Lord, we know that among us, maybe a lot of us, we are still living in our false name. We still don't know what is the name that you have given us. So Lord, help us. As we are still living in this world, help us to know what part, what role you want us to play in your plan. What name that you have given to us. Lord, help us to reflect on things that happen in our faith journey, in our life. Give us time to reflect on that. So that when we say we serve you, it's not just serving you in different positions in church, but to serve you according to the name that you have given to us. Lord, please help us. Please tell us. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
Let's stand for the response of hymn, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.